Happy New Year's. Everybody still tired? Yeah? Up late? Hannah and I debated. We were like, we have a kid. We have a toddler. We should just come home early. But our kid is a party animal. And we went over to my brother's house. And I have two nieces who are just as full of energy and crazy as my kid. Love them. They're awesome. They were going nonstop. I think right after 12, all the fireworks were done. And, like, Gage was begging for me to pick him up so he could lay his head on my shoulder. And I was like, I wish somebody would pick me up and I could lay my head on their shoulder. But that was our New Year's. It was a lot of fun. So many fireworks. my niece's hand, her thumbs were almost inoperable by the time, cause from lighting lighters, she was asking me to light them towards the end because she couldn't do it anymore. A lot of fun. And New Year's is always a great thing because it's always something new. Always a time to begin something new because our year is starting anew, afresh. And one second, let me get this going here. I like trying new things. I'm one of those guys that wants to take a risk and just try something. So if you come up to me, please don't, and dare me to do something, I might do it. I just might try it. I was always that guy that would always do it. Whether it's, hey, you want to go skydiving? Hey, you want to try this new thing? You want to go snowboarding? You want to jump off a cliff? You want to do all that stuff? I'd be like, okay, let's try it. Let's do it. As long as I could logically think it out. One of the new things that we tried this last year was, I wasn't always a coffee nut growing up, but my wife, well, she was girlfriend at the time, she's a coffee nut, and she went crazy about it, and the fact that I didn't drink coffee was like almost pagan, and it was sinful that I didn't try it, and I was like, well, I don't need it, but it tastes so good, and all these things, and so I'm like, well, to keep her, I guess I got to drink coffee. And so I was like, Lord, just please help me. And so I sacrificially drank coffee for a long time and choked it down. But now it's become an addiction. And just as I'm addicted to my wife. Oh, there it is. Okay. And last year, it's like, just like with any addiction, and it's not, addictions aren't funny, but coffee addictions are funny because it's, after a while, it's like you have to up the ante. Like you get some stronger, more bold, different flavors, you know, different ways. And last year we started doing French press. Now there is work in French press. You know, we have all these things. I even bought a hand grinder because supposedly the blade, Nathan is schooling, teaching me these things. The blade isn't the proper way to cut a bean and to break them up. So I bought a hand grinder. And at one point, I was even hand grinding the beans to put them into the press. There's all these techniques and mess. And then when I moved to the Heights, I'm at a whole new level of coffee connoisseurs. Like they were telling me to like, okay, when you watch it, you know, you see the bubbles coming up, you know, that's carbon dioxide. You got to stir that out, you know, and you can't let it get crusty on top and all these things. There's all these technique and with certain types of beans and the oils inside of them. And, but I would have never have known, I'm not regretting any of this. Let me put it that way. I love coffee now. I love it. I look forward to it in the mornings. And when you have a toddler, it's always great to have something to look forward to in the mornings, you know, because it's always difficult. Parents in the room understand. And so I love it now. It's great. But I never would have known unless I tasted it, unless I tried it, unless I began. And thankful for my wife who helped me through it. And she opened up my eyes to a new world. And now I have an addiction. I love you, honey. Thank you. So trying things new in the new year, it always rolls around to New Year's, and we're always like, what happened in the past that I could do better? What am I going to try new? And it always happens. We always think, and for me personally, and this is might be for you, is it's always health, being healthier. That's always like, I got to say, that's probably like the number one resolution is being healthier, doing healthier things so I can live longer and have a better quality of life and working out. And working out is always the first thing that pops in my head, And then it's always eating right. My wife, it's like a cycle. She's learned my cycle, and it always happens this way. Like I'll feel guilty at the end of the day. Like it's like 8 o'clock. We just had dinner. I'm like, okay, I'm done. No more of this eating bad. I'm gonna start eating good. You know, no more, no more. And Hannah's like, okay, yeah, you know, because it's always a cycle. She's like, stop telling me, because if you're not going to do it, I'm you know, whatever. Because I feel like it makes her feel guilty too for eating bad, because, you know, because I'm like, oh, I'm eating horrible, all these stuff. She's tired of me making her feel guilty as well. It always comes around to that. But by 11 o'clock, I'm always eating ice cream or something. You know, it's always a cycle. It's always happening. But in your head, you think it all up, right? You're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to work out. I'm going to read. I'm going to do all these things. And then in the morning, I'm going to make myself, you know, egg whites and, you know, all these things. And you're like, in your head, the time-wise, you can make a map of it in the timeline. You can say, it works. It's logical. It can happen. And I always do this to myself. I work it out, you know, but I always shoot too far, and I do too much, and it's overwhelming in the beginning. It's too hard to start, it ends up wearing me out and things like that, and then I'm like, okay, it's okay to be a little overweight. That's fine, you know, and my wife, she's stuck with me, so she has to love me the way I am. Right, honey? Yes, I got the thumbs up. We're good. So it always happens. There's always this process, but the easy part is always the concept of it. Everybody can do that. We all have these ideal things in our lives that we want to be better about in ourselves, whether it's education or healthiness or in our relationships, having better relationships with the relationships that we already have, or picking better people to have relationships with, that type of thing. We're running with bad crowds that are dragging us down. Things like, there's always these ideal things. In our head, we can always work it out. It's always logical. It always makes sense. We always know those people in our lives that it's like they're experts on the situation, on the topic, but they've never actually done it. You know those people, you know, those workout fanatics that have never worked out, and or those healthy eaters that don't really eat healthy. They're telling you how to eat healthy while they're shoveling cheesecake, you know, into the mouth or something like that. I've been guilty of it. It's okay if you have as well. It's all right. Those people that tell you how to study and how to work hard, but they didn't ever get good grades in school. That type of thing. And people like Nathan's throwing his hands up at me. I think I hit a soft spot. We always have these things. The logic is easy. The practice is where the magic happens. It's until we start trying. It wasn't until I tried coffee, I started trying the different things and putting it myself out there, that it really started to work for me. It started to click. I had to taste it first. I had to do it. When you get out there and you start working out, the people that really are the workout fanatics are in great shape. Before they were anything, it was a concept. Anybody that's done anything great in our lives, any heroes of ours or anything like that, before they became who they are, it was just a concept. They worked out the logic in their head. It wasn't until they decided to pursue it, until actually try it, to taste and see, until, you know, it happened for them, until they became what they are. And it's not something that's instant, it's something that works over time. It's continuous. It keeps trying, keep going over and over in our lives. We're always on the edge. We're always on the edge of something, a better of who we are, a better ourselves, you know, that kind of thing. We're always on the edge of it. Because we're all smart people. We all can work this out logically. I'm sure if I talk to everybody individually as a group, we can always come up with a plan of how to do things better in our lives. But we don't do it. We don't try, because it takes vulnerability. It takes putting ourselves out there. But once you try, once you start and you taste it, then it starts begins to work. So we're always on the change, on the edge of change in our lives for the better. As a church, Village Heights, we are always on the edge of being a catalyst of love for this community. We could change this community in huge ways. Not that this community is bad or anything like that, but nobody is perfect, and we can always use love. The Heights is one of them. Heights can always use love, more of it. As long as I can see homeless people walking the street, people trying, people having to come up and ask for money. Granted, they might have put themselves in that situation, but that doesn't mean they don't deserve love or help out of the situation that they're in. As long as you see that, as long as you see people hurting and distraught, there's always a need for love. But it doesn't happen unless we try it. Village Heights cannot be the catalyst, cannot be the changing agent in this community for love unless we try it, unless we do it. It can't just be concept. We have to do it. It's the same way for Christians. It's the same way all through life, all God's people. It's really cool. In Psalms, we're going to be looking in Psalms today. So, pre-New Testament. So, you think about our New Testament heroes, the disciples of Jesus and all the teachings that they did. So, think about this. They didn't have the New Testament, right? When we go to look for God's wisdom, Jesus' wisdom, and how to do things, and Beatitudes and all that, they didn't have that all manuscript and put together in their hands. So where did they teach from? When it came time for them to disciple, what did they do? Yes, they talked about Jesus and the great things that he'd done, but they also used, because they were talking to people that this was a new concept. Jesus was a new thing to them. So every time you bring something new into a situation, you have to have something that relates. You have to have something to apply it to, a way to communicate it, the way they can understand. And how did they do that? They use the Psalms. There is a lot of referencing back to the Psalms out throughout the New Testament. They actually use this. Pre-New Testament, pre-Jesus, that's how they taught to be God's people, was through the Psalms, which is a really cool way when you start to think about it and you begin to really read the Psalms. Psalms is it's a huge makeup of and it's not, you think that poems and things like, it's not all just rhymes and things like that. These are parallels and things like that, ideas, concepts, thoughts that kind of run together. And it's just very large. Half of it was made by David, the king. The rest was comprised of many other great heroes of the faith. And some are just so full of truth. I'm not sure who wrote them, but they are obviously on point as far as their theology. And so they use these and... the cool thing about it, what makes it so powerful, was it's not concept, right? Before they were heroes of the faith, before we had to even listen to King, why would we listen to David? Why would we listen to him? It's not because he had a great idea. He could describe it. He knew the theology of it. He had a concept of it. I'm sure loads of people had that. Their own idea of God, of what he might be and how he interacts with us. The thing is he lived it. He acted it out. It's not concept to him, it's action to him. So when we look at the Psalms, this is it carried out. This is faith carried out. This is, and that's why the apostles and every teacher before that, that's why they used the Psalms to teach, because it's saying, look, it's not just an idea. These are people, these are heroes that actually carried this out, and this is how it worked out with them. So, and it's the same for us. The heroes of the faith are not theorists. They were doers. David expressed this in Psalms. And today we're going to look at Psalms 34, 4 through 10. You can turn to it. I'm going to read it aloud, or you can read it on the screen there. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger. But those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. I like to point out, when he talks about fear, he's not saying that he's just, of course, he's scared of God. But it's more, fear is more of a respect. It's more in that time what it meant. I know it just means just being scared. But then it was, they respected God. They respected his authority and who he was. And that's what fear meant. That's why he repeated it over and over again. But he went through something. He didn't say, hey, here's an idea, here's a theory. He went through actual, he said, I sought the Lord and he answered me. This is past tense. It happened. And he's pleading with those, his readers, his listeners, whoever is partaking in this, he's pleading with them, oh, taste and see. Because David knows something. He knows it's not just about what's up here and what you can work out in your head. Because God doesn't work that way. He works on faith. You got to take a step. You got to do something. David always did something. And then God came. And then God did whatever he was going to do in David's life. And so they use these things, which is very powerful. David wanted us to know that you have to try it. You got to put yourself out there. You got to be willing to take a risk. Now, fast forward many years to where we're at today. Nothing has changed. David, in his life, and the faith that he had to have for God to move, it's the same faith. It is, the relationship has changed a little because there's a new commandment. There's a new covenant with Jesus. He actually made it easier on us. We can actually speak to Jesus. We have a Savior. We don't have to go through all these sacrifices. And the cool thing about Psalms, and one of the things today when I was reading this, it made me re-appreciate how cool it is that we have worship and things like that prior to service, was that the Psalms, when they stopped doing sacrifices, when they stopped doing all these ritualistic things that God wasn't necessary anymore in the New Testament, they used Psalms. Instead of sacrificing at the beginning of service, wouldn't that be weird if we just like cut open an animal right now and just said, all right, you get the bloods everywhere. I don't think the school would let us rent their cafetorium anymore if we did that. But instead of doing that, they used the Psalms. That was their time to worship and show appreciation to God. And when you think about it that way, it's not just so we can come together and look good and just to have music and things like that. It's so that we can come and carry out something together. We can, as one, show our appreciation to Christ and what he did for us. It makes it that much more powerful. Because when people come together and do something in unity, something powerful happens. That's where Christ is. That's where God is. So I have an appreciation and a love for worship. So where in your life have you thought it out? I know you've done this because it's a new year, and everybody reminds you, try something new. What's your New Year's resolution? Where in your life have in the past have you failed? Have you just thought it out? You never did it. You never tried it. You worked out the logic in your head. It made sense, but you didn't try it. You weren't willing to get uncomfortable. And how many times has that been with God? How many times have you... It worked out. I just can ask God. I can just have more faith. I can tell my friends about God. I can be more courageous in my faith because what I have is great and good, and other people deserve to hear about it. How many times have you just thought it out, but you've never done it? God appreciates your thoughts. He loves your thoughts. I love my son's thoughts. I love that my son tells me he loves me and things like that, but I love it more when he carries out acts that shows that he respects me and that he loves me. When he actually cleans up his room or tells me when he's done. When he puts the lollipop stick in the garbage instead of throwing it on the ground because I told him so. That means so much more to me. I'm so much more proud. And it shows that he was willing to do it. It wasn't just lip service. It wasn't just a concept to him. He actually did it. God feels the same way about us. The same way about you. He loves your thoughts. He loves our worship, but until you actually start living it, until you start trying it, that's when it gives God the opportunity, Jesus the opportunity to begin to open the doors and begin to move in your life because you took a step out. You had the faith to know that he's going to be there for you, and he will be there for you. Just like David is telling you, I'm telling you, taste and see. Some of us are been Christians for a long time. Some of us might be new. Some of us, we probably need a revisit to Christianity. We need a reawakening. No matter where you're at in your faith and how long you've been a Christian, or where you're at in your theology and how much you know, our faith is never strong enough. There's always new levels that you can go. Now, when you reach to a point to where you're just give it all up and you're ready, you know, for God, you think that you've given it all, he'll find more. He'll find ways. In planting this church, we gave a lot up to do this. And there's times where I'm like, God, are you sure you called me? Are you sure I'm the qualified one for this? I'm not qualified. And he knew that, and that's fine. But then there's moments when people walk in the doors that I'd never thought to see. Or there's moments when I'm out in the community and I'm able to give something, some kind of service, something like that, and I see the appreciation in their face because they can see the love of Christ in me. They can feel that love. And because I did it,
God was able to make that happen. I was able to taste and see how good the Lord is. So where in your life can you do that? I'm not talking about just, yes, oh, taste and see God, and that's the first step. But then when you oh, taste and see God, see what he can do in your life, you'll begin to see that he changes things. See, David just didn't talk about like just his relationship with God. He talked about his fears, his shortcomings, things that God didn't have to intervene with. Just having a relationship with God doesn't mean he has to intervene in what's going on in your life, but he chooses to because he loves you. And that's why he's saying, oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. So where in your life are you just in concept with God? And where in your life have the concepts in your life not gone forth because you didn't have faith to let God work in them? Just as God helped David, God can help you in the same ways. This faith is the same, the relationship is the same. It's all based on faith and trying to taste and see. As a church, as Village Heights, we also have to taste and see. Now, when we were starting Village Heights, we had all sorts of plans. We had all sorts of concepts. There's many different ways to plant churches and many avenues to go down, and then you have to research. And some people in here, they know this more than me, that it's very different. I mean, I've helped plant churches in suburbs, inner city, you know, all these different things, and it's always different because the culture is different. And you can have all these designs, and you can do all these great things, but it's not until you do it that the magic happens. It wasn't until we sold our house and moved out into an apartment. It wasn't until we stepped out in faith and began to tell people, hey, we're starting a church. Because when you start saying it, it puts yourself on the line. When you start going out and doing it, it's putting your reputation out there. That's faith. Because we did that, we get to taste and see what the great things God is doing. But it's not over. That was 2015. God did some powerful things. And we're going to talk about some of those things continuing on in this series. But as the series is called, I Dare You. As a church, as Village Heights, as we come together, I dare you to taste and see. To get out of your comfort zone. To put some of the things aside. Those things that are not really important in your life, and spend more time with this church, to try things with us. Because when we come together, just as we come together in worship and it's powerful, as we come together and love this community and try new things, new outreaches, new ways, loving the school has been a great one of those ways to do that, being interacting with other charitable things in the neighborhood. Not to say that we don't have it all figured out and we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We want to join together with others that are already doing good to help lift up what they're doing. Again, joining together. So if you will join together with us to taste and see what God can do with Village Heights, you'll begin to see the great things that will happen. But it takes us working together. It takes us changing who we are, changing our schedules, changing, making time to be together, making time. Because I know you'd rather be probably asleep this morning. It was cold. You might want to stay in the warm bed. Somebody can amen that right there. I wanted to too. I'd rather stay in the bed. I'd rather stay warm. But I know that this is worth it. Being able to share Jesus and be able to come together and celebrating Jesus and to learn more about him and teach about him, it's worth it. It's worth trying. Just like anything else in our lives to make ourselves better, it's worth trying. When individuals come together for a bigger purpose, powerful things happen. So let's taste and see what God has for Village Heights in 2016. And I dare you to do it. And I dare you because I know great things will happen. Put yourself out there. Try. Have faith. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to be dismissed. And I just want to thank you guys for coming. We love y'all. And Happy New Year's. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come together in your name. Lord, I pray that this message would just be buried down deep in our hearts, God. That we don't be afraid of change, that we don't be afraid of getting out of our comfort zones, Lord, and that we will take risks to taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, whether it's in our relationships, whether it's in our finances, Whether it's in our humility, Lord, and the power that we have, God, I pray that we will take risks in letting you be Lord of our lives, to let Jesus be our Savior, to let him take control of our situations. Lord, I pray that we'll just have the guts to taste and see how the Lord is good, Lord, and then share those moments with others, Lord, to have our own psalms to you, God, our own psalms that people can hear and learn, not just in concept, Lord, to see and hear what has actually happened, what has taken part in our lives. It's a powerful thing, God. Lord, protect these people. Guide them. Lord, I pray that you will open their eyes to opportunities for them to taste and see that you are good. And I give you all the praise and all the honor. Amen.